The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Hello, Rolien Marx. I bet you also knew that it was Bill Beaumont, didn't you?
I was just about to say, Kathy, I don't have a cooking clue what the answer to this sports question is. Ladies, you know me. If it's about shoes and lipstick and pop culture,
and the Middle
I
East.
Know it. If it involves any kind of sports, apart from running for a sale, I don't have a cooking clue.
Well, aside from the fact that you do know a lot about the Middle East, Rolien, let's just put that in the
true.
Bag.
That is true.
All right, let's talk about Sudan. Sudan, that was quite unexpected, actually, joining the Abraham Accords. They signed with
them. Earlier, first I have to say this is the first week of January. Feels like the longest year ever.
Yes.
I was about to say earlier this year, but I remember it's towards the end of last year. Sudan agreed to normalize ties with Israel with a couple of caveats. One would be that they would be removed from the terror list. And that was agreed upon by the Trump administration. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that anymore. Who knows? But the Sudan did confirm earlier this week that they have signed the Abraham Accords, joining the ever-widening circle of peace. This is now the fourth country to sign the Abraham Accords. We had the UAE, followed by Bahrain, followed actually by the Sudan agreeing to normalize but not signing, and then followed by Morocco. And it's going to be very interesting to see who is next, because another very momentous occasion happened last weekend, also broken by Jared Kushner, is he managed to end the feud between Saudi Arabia and Qatar, which has been around for a couple of years, which led to the blocking of airspace and restricting travel and business and interaction. This was ended, which has got many of us speculating, will this be paving the path to normalization for other Gulf countries? We are expecting that we could hear from Oman. Everybody's watching Saudi to see what's going to happen. Apparently, guys, there's foibles with the royal family. Half agree to, half don't agree to, but we'll have to see what's going to happen there. Also, some murmurings, could Indonesia be next? And the murmurings go far to Pakistan. Some saying, don't rule out Pakistan. And Imran Khan, who is the leader of Pakistan, saying, absolutely rule us out. We will not be making peace with the Zionist entity. But, you know, where there's murmurings, there's often smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire. Except in my office, Kathy. I'm not setting any fires. Yeah.
All right, Rolien, I've got some questions to ask you about, you know,
sure.
With Trump leaving office, he actually did so much good in his presidency, and I think that needs to be acknowledged, not only for the U.S. economy. Up until they had COVID, the U.S. economy was in better shape than it had ever been. That's the first thing. So that domestically, he wasn't doing too badly. In fact, he was doing quite well. But in terms of his foreign policy and what has happened in the world since he lost the election, we've seen all of a sudden Iran is coming out. They're saber-rattling. They're making threats against Israel. They're making threats against other countries. So that's the first thing that I'd like to get your comment on. The second thing is, with these Abraham Accords, who ever thought we would be discussing, you know, the Middle East in terms of peace in the Middle East? Do you think that that's going to continue?
Wow, these are very good questions for so early on a Friday morning, but I've made sure that I'd be ready to answer them by having my coffee. Let's take a look at, let's unpack the Trump presidency. I think it's actually quite astounding and heartbreaking to see the events of the last couple of days, because unfortunately, this could overshadow the work that Trump has done. And you know, he has been an extremely polarizing figure. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground with regards to people's opinions of the Trump administration. And let's take a look at events before the last couple of days. Yes, he managed to get peace on the map in the Middle East. It's a tremendous achievement that we have to give credit to his administration. Yes, he managed to get the economy improving. He managed to get Americans back to work. And also, very importantly, he managed to get American troops out of wars. Now, if you look at Republican presidencies over the last couple of presidencies, quite the opposite has happened. Trump had the reverse effect. Unfortunately, and we do have to acknowledge the events post-election have been something really, really tragic for his presidency, because this will be his legacy. His legacy, unfortunately, now is not going to be the man who put the economy on the map. His legacy is not necessarily, except maybe for us who live here or who have a vested interest, going to be the work in the Middle East. Unfortunately, right now, he is seen as the president who will probably be forced out of office by the invocation of the 25th Amendment. It's taken him only until last night to appeal for peace, to call for an end to the riots. Some really, really frightening imagery coming out of these protests. Neo-Nazis, people wearing sweatshirts with 6 million wasn't enough, and what has become a horrible icon, the bearded guy with the sweatshirt that says Camp Auschwitz. This, unfortunately, is what people are going to see, the legacy of the Trump administration being a president who's left in disgrace, whose administration is jumping ship person by person, and whose family have already packed up and left Washington. And it is sad, because, as you said, we'll address the second part of your question, is that we would never have expected a year ago or even 6 months ago that we'd be speaking about peace in the Middle East. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, whether you like him or loathe him, even a broken clock gets it right twice a day. And with respect to dealing with Iran and dealing with foreign policy in the Middle East, and the previous administration, the Obama administration, wasn't so focused or wasn't a foreign policy administration. It's going to be very interesting to see Biden coming in, who is more foreign policy focused than Barack Obama. But, you know, whether you like him or loathe him, you have to give the Trump administration credit for the tremendous work that has been done with regard to the Middle East. And, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with Biden. A lot of concern amongst the Israeli security establishment that, you know, he will be too easy on the Iranians. However, we've also heard from Germany and France. They've woken up after how many years, as we would say in Yiddish, Zaindor, they've woken up, saying that they are concerned about the amount of enrichment in uranium that the Iranians are found guilty of. And we also can't forget, and it's Jerusalem's policy not to comment, that two major terrorists have been taken out, Qasem Soleimani and Fakhrizadeh, Mohammed Fakhrizadeh. And, you know, these are very, very important milestones in the war against a nuclear Iran.
Yeah, Iran worries me. It does worry me, especially now that, you know, Trump is somebody that people didn't mess with, because they knew that he was just a little bit crazy enough to actually act on his threats. I mean, think of North Korea. And, you know, the conversation, the narrative, and the, you know, the words coming out of that leader's mouth before the Trump administration. And he actually bullied him into submission.
Well, from Israel's perspective, we've always got to remember that we have a strong relationship, a strong bipartisan relationship with the United States of America. I mean, a lot of us were very amused to see the news that the new congresswoman for Florida, Kat Kamik, she has decided she's going to be putting an Israeli flag outside her office in Congress. She says not only is she a huge supporter of Israel, it's really to annoy her neighbor, who happens to be Rashida Tlaib. She's a congresswoman of Minnesota, or one of the two, but of Michigan. But she will be viewing an Israeli flag when she steps into her office every single day. So we can't forget that. We can't forget that there is strong bipartisan support. However, Israel is also of the opinion that we have to be able to rely on ourselves. You know, we've unfortunately learned in our history as Jews that, you know, in our darkest hours, the world shut its gates, it shut its borders to us. And from our perspective, we learn the lessons of the past, which is why we will be very, very vocal and do everything we can to prevent a nuclear Iran. But also, we will always make sure that we are in a position that if needed, we can always rely and defend ourselves.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see if it's going to continue. I really hope that, you know, everybody wins in these deals. So it would be amazing if it, if the Abraham Accords are signed by more countries. Rolene Marks, what else is news in your neck of the woods? How's the lockdown treating you?
I have to be honest, I don't remember a time out of lockdown, to be honest. But yes. as of midnight last night, we went into our third very, very strict lockdown. The police have been deployed across the country to make sure that this is not a fake lockdown. It's not a drill. It's the real thing. The Prime Minister very boldly saying that he thinks that by March, we should be out east in Israel. He's making very bold statements, Kathy Nabuchle, everybody listening, that come March, Israel will be the first country to be out of COVID. He says, you know, strict lockdowns coupled with the vaccine rollout. We received Moderna vaccines yesterday, and we're receiving another major shipment of Pfizer vaccines around about Sunday. And yeah, very, very strong statement. So let's see. We hope we are, because I think many of us would like to welcome many of you back to Israel for Pesach to visit us. We would like to come and visit many of you. I know we have listeners around the world, Kathy. Yeah. And I think that even if it's just one country coming out of the COVID pandemic, it gives hope to the others. So yeah, let's see how we go. I'm hoping that we will start to see a dawn, and we can resume our lives of just the simple things like hugging each other and shaking hands.
Wouldn't that be nice? Rolene Marks, on that note, I want to just say thank you so much for being with me and doing these reports for the last 3-4 weeks. Really appreciate it. Have enjoyed them immensely. And yeah, you got Howard from next week. So have a good Shabbos, and thanks again.
Shabbat shalom, wing woman Kathy.
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm the wing nut. This is Rolene Marks, who's also kind of nut in her own right.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.